Hello, I am Manuel Matedu, and this is SEO in 2024 Additional Insights.
And what's your additional insight for SEO in 2024?
Well, I can discuss for hours, but I guess the main one to keep it short would be try to focus on quality and to understand really search intent. So focus on what your audience wants and, you know, optimize, refine all your strategies around that rather than working in silos and not taking account all the insights from real data. But yeah, this is in a nutshell.
Sounds good. Okay. So what does quality mean in 2024?
Yeah, quality. So given, so nowadays we are seeing everything is evolving fast. So, you know, search engines are implementing new technologies. We've got AI, but also, you know, all the technology in our industry are smarter, either because of AI, but also because of integration of tools. So focus on quality means making sure you don't just deliver content for the sake of delivering content, like huge quantity of articles or pages, but really try to understand what's best for your users and try to meet the user intent. So try to understand what they're looking for in the different phases of the funnel. For example, are they willing to buy something? Are they looking for more information? And most importantly, what you want them to do, and then build your strategy around that. So quality, you know, encompasses either be sure you've got quality data because of the cookies policy changes and tracking and GA4, you know, it's really important. Also, we can count on reliable data. So data, yeah, must provide quality, like, you know, must be reliable and provide insight. But also, again, the output of what we do must be orientated around EEAT, so must provide quality, must provide value to users. You must become an expert. You must, you know, respond to what they want and provide trustworthiness.
So quality, intent, and data are the three words that I'm hearing the most from you. Intent. So if you deliver the correct user intent, is that how you measure quality?
Yes and no, indirectly. So another measure of quality is also, I mean, if you're working from client, is essentially client retention. So you keep it, because the industry is also evolving fast and you've got big agencies changing clients like on a frequent basis now, because the industry, you know, it's evolving as fast as technology. So they want to ensure you provide, you meet success. So I guess, I mean, for agencies, it's client retention. It's a measure of quality. Is the client happy? What you do is good. But also, you know, in order to answer that, are you achieving what they want to see? Are you achieving conversions? Are you bringing more traffic to the business? Are you maximizing the ROI? So, you know, given what they spend, are you bringing back, you know, value? So it's worth what they're spending with you, or, you know, they may use an AI tool instead. So I think quality, it's also there, like ensuring you provide like quality results, like, you know, you drive conversion, you drive value and maximize the budget.
So I love using client retention as a way to measure success and whether or not you're actually delivering quality for the client. Mm-hmm. I guess what you don't want is for surprises. So for a client suddenly to leave and not expect that the client is wanting to leave or likely to leave. So what does good communication look like with a client to try to ensure that they are happy on an ongoing basis so you don't get those kind of surprises at the end of a contract?
So see, again, it's around quality. So having quality conversations, so meaning, you know, ensure all the stakeholders, so all the different teams, I don't know, if you're managing migration, you know, making sure the product team, you know, the dev team, SEO, I mean, all the involved team are in the same conversation. And also you are clear and don't hide any, I don't know, struggles. You've got everything clear in terms of, you know, what are the plans for all the teams. And yeah, I guess in terms of communication must be open, like very clear, open communication. And then making sure you've got all the elements, all the data, all the information from all the teams for you to be aware of the plans, timing, and, you know, avoid surprises. And I think, you know, because again, we are seeing a lot of automation, a lot of AI tools. The trick here, the real value here to show that we as humans can be smarter than AI automated tools. So in the way we communicate, so, you know, that struggle, we are, you know, let's not hide it, but when you work on clients, there are always kind of struggles coming from, I don't know, an unexpected issue from a website or, you know, something they developed or you know, like a Google change, maybe, you know, they changed. So it's about being clear. So don't hide the struggles, but be clear. Hey, we are facing this situation. What should we do? So find the right answer.
So when we are focusing on quality and delivering quality content, how do we incorporate AI into that? Because you touched very briefly on integrating AI into your workflow and processes earlier on. How can you do that while at the same time ensuring maximum quality?
Yeah, and again, to also ensure client retention. So it's about essentially stay on the top of what's happening in the market and become the expert. So test the new technologies, test the new tools, and show you are owning that, but also integrating it in your strategy. So,
but test it on the client's websites or test it on other sites beforehand?
You can propose A/B testing, but depends on the scale of the client. So I'm now working on big clients, but I've been self-employed for 10 years. So it's easier when you work on smaller clients or on your own personal project to test. It's really difficult when you work on big clients to propose tests because, you know, they may have big budgets. So you can propose A/B testing, but it's more about maybe testing internally or on the side, and then try to understand how these tools can be integrated. For example, now, really recently, I mean, given the March, 2024 Google update, core update. So it seems like SEOs or everyone is scared about AI. So you shouldn't really use AI to produce content, but I'm working on something. So I will bring something to the next Brighton SEO. And actually, I'm using AI to build a website completely. So it's about understanding, defining the line, the separation line. So yes, you can use AI. No, you can't be lazy. So it's not that you use ChatGPT one prompt and then you've got the content, you copy and paste, and then you've got your content for the website. But it's about integrating AI as a starting point. So you can use AI to better define, again, maybe user or like avoiding to scrape the surface, but go a bit deeper. You should work on different prompts and really integrating your strategy, but as a starting point. And then also what you produce, the output should include all the EAT elements to, again, provide value to users. So you cannot really copy and paste what ChatGPT is telling you, but you should make sure you include case studies, personal point of view, FAQs, multimedia formats, so videos, bullet point, like a summary of the findings. So your content must be useful, but you can use AI to get there. So, you know, it's a powerful tool, but you don't have to be lazy. You have to find the best way to use it.
Can Google still tell when content's been written by ChatGPT?
I mean, from my experience, I'm writing all the content, again, expanding, so making sure it's not like just AI generated. But no, I mean, from the site I'm working on and using the tools you find online to detect, you know, AI generated content, no, it's not generated. But then again, it's not about asking ChatGPT, hey, give me, I don't know, an article around this topic, but it's about expanding, since you have something fairly good and also proof check. In my experience, again, I generated content with AI and they couldn't detect it. But I think the ultimate test is not what these tools say, it's the quality of the content. So when you read the content, it does it good? Is it useful? Does it say something good or is just, you know, something you can read?
And how you differentiate yourself out to everyone else there?
I mean, maybe it's an insight that we bring to the Brighton SEO, but one way I'm doing this is essentially, again, I'm using ChatGPT or Gemini as a starting point. So I've done my keyword mapping. So I know the intent. I know what the users are looking for around a specific topic. And I feed all of that to GPT or Gemini to have like a starting article. But then I try to add personal side. The way I do this is checking online for a specific topic, like YouTube videos of expert explaining, you know, on how to guide or how to do specific stuff. I use Gemini to condense and provide a summary or bullet points. And then I amend that. So I make an article or I make a few bullet points. And then I make sure I integrate also that in my article.
So it's interesting that you mentioned Gemini. What do you find, if any, as the main differences between Gemini and ChatGPT?
Well, main differences. So overall, so ChatGPT can save a document. So if you ask GPT to produce an image and save a document, because of DALL-E or because ChatGPT is able to save a Word document, for example, if you ask for it, it's easier to use ChatGPT. I'm working on a tool to automate all of that. I'm using the API, but essentially using this process, I'm able to send the prompts in different stages, train the AI model, refine the content and article, and have my output but save in a Word document, and also produce images. You cannot do all of that with Gemini, first of all, because it's not yet there. You can't produce images and you cannot save in a Word document or an Excel document. Another one, for example, in GPT, you can upload an Excel file. You can ask GPT, hey, I've got this table in an Excel. Can you provide me the HTML code to have this table on a web page? And we give you the HTML for the table, but you just upload the Excel, which is something you cannot do with Gemini. On the other hand, with Gemini, for example, I've been, again, trying to summarize videos with ChatGPT. You cannot do that. So you can't provide like a YouTube video to ChatGPT. We struggle. Whether Gemini, because it's Google platforms, you know, is able to have a look at the YouTube, see the transcript, and provide the points to you. So it's about understanding, I guess, the potentialities with both and get the best out of them. In terms of content, I think GPT is still, I mean, I've been reading an article whether now Gemini is performing a bit better against 9-10 tests they've been trying to do with both. But from what I see, GPT is still a bit better in terms of long form content. It does look more human. You've got a bit more insights. Whether Google is a bit better for shorter things like metadata. You ask Gemini to provide a SEO page title or meta description. In Gemini, it's a bit better. So,
is it necessary for every SEO to be involved natively within Gemini and ChatGPT, or is it sufficient to use other third-party tools that perhaps exist already that are incorporating AI into their offering? And also, I mean, I was on AppSumo recently, and there are loads of different AI-powered SEO yes. tools or yeah. transcript production tools or tools that will change transcripts into summaries on there. So perhaps it's okay now for SEOs just to use tools that they can interact with easily instead of actually trying to experiment directly with Gemini and ChatGPT.
I think it's about how you position yourself. So yes, you're right. I mean, AI, it's getting everywhere. So I'm also building my site for Brighton SEO with WordPress, and AI is everywhere. You've got AI in Yoast SEO, so to optimize metadata. You've got AI when you build the pages, it can suggest the best format, it can suggest, you know, the layout. You've got AI when you buy a domain. In GoDaddy, you look for a domain name, you've got AI suggesting you the best domain. You've got AI in the chat. I was using, I mean, different tools, and they've got AI to suggest, you know, amendments for content or metadata. So you don't necessarily need to test yourself. You can use these tools. Or you can test the output. You can see based on your experience what's best and refine it, because the final QA, human QA and proof checking is, you know, paramount. But I guess it's about positioning yourself. So if you want to become an expert, and again, because the industry is evolving, so we are seeing a lot of, it's bad to say, but, you know, people losing their job because AI is replacing. So if you test yourself, if you own the tool, if you know the differences, if you know what you can use Gemini for, GPT for, if you try to automate and work on coding, building tools as well, you stay a bit ahead. So, you know, you become an expert. You become the point of reference maybe for your team, your agency, rather than, hey, you know, I'm using AI. Yes, I can improve metadata, but you are one out of hundreds, like, you know.
But can you do everything as an SEO? Can you be on top of what's happening from a tech perspective and the world of AI?
You can't. I recently moved from, so I was part of Dentsu America before, and we were discussing AI when ChatGPT 3 was released, and they released the API, and then, you know, bad happened. So Google was chasing, trying to catch up. So everything was evolving fast. I was panicking. So honestly, because I was reporting myself back to the team, and we were trying to build a team around AI, but everything was evolving fast. So it was impossible for one person or three, four people to stay on the top of things. So everything is evolving fast. So I guess the trick is, based on what you do, try to understand what's the best use of AI. Again, my partner is a graphic designer. She was using DALL-E for mini project, like restaurant menus, for example. So she's testing for something else. But I guess the real separation mark is, if you try to be smart and provide value and try to show the team, hey, I know this. It's not something that everybody's doing. It can be a breakthrough, because the way I'm doing this is not there in normal tools, then maybe, you know, you become point of reference. Otherwise, yeah, it's impossible to stay at the top of everything. It's impossible. But you can maybe use AI to grab information.
So you've shared what SEO should be doing in 2024. Now let's talk about what SEO shouldn't be doing. So what's something that's seductive in terms of time, but ultimately counterproductive? What's something that SEO shouldn't be doing in 2024?
Yeah, I guess based on all we said also, avoid to work in silos and try to be smarter. Because fair enough, one is the human factor, because agencies and everyone now can use a tool instead of, you know, asking you what to do or optimize a site. The human factor is important. So try to be smarter. So understand the technology, but also be honest, you know, really try to have a discussion with the clients and find the solution for what's happening. And then also, again, avoid to work in silos. So because the system, the algorithm, the search engines are now smarter, they don't check like single ranking signals, but they see overall, they see the whole picture. They collect data from social media. They collect data, way more data than before, from everywhere. I guess for you, it's really important to have a holistic approach, we say nowadays, like a broader overarching approach. So try to understand what's the best strategy across channels, what we want to achieve and how to achieve it. You know, for SEOs, I mean, maybe it's not worth for you to spend 3 months in optimizing speed if there is no return to the client. So try to understand, maybe you are a local business. Maybe you can do something on social. Maybe you can concentrate something with email, social media, Google My Business to get there. So really try to avoid working in silos. Try to check to see the overall picture. Be smart, be human, I guess, but use AI tools and automation to get there.
Manu Madadu is account director at Publicis, and you can find him over at zerodudesign.co.uk. Manu, thanks so much for adding your additional insight to SEO in 2024.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
I've been your host, David Bain. You've been listening to an episode of SEO in 2024 Additional Insights, a majestic series that complements the original SEO in 2024 podcast, video series, and book. Find out more at SEOin2024.com.